They're tales as old as time. We all know them, but how do anime interpretations of fairy tales measure up?
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Otaku Movie Anatomy.
Woo!
That music.
I like when you're like, tale as old as time, and I was going to be all,
old as rock, motherfuckers!
Thanks for watching Otaku Movie Anatomy, guys. We are officially changing the name after 2 months.
Woo! Finally, thought of a name! Wait, has it been 2 months? I feel like that's a short amount of time
it
for us.
It has been about...
Pretty efficient.
We talked about it a lot, though. Like, too much.
Yes. So, next week, we will be the Mighty Otaku.
The Mighty Otaku Show.
What a great name.
Are we the Mighty Otaku Show or the Mighty Otaku Broadcast?
I thought it was just going to be Mighty Otaku.
The Mighty Otaku.
Who cares?
Should we put an S on the end?
We're the only people. We're the best.
I have a lot of questions, guys.
As always, be sure to subscribe and rate on iTunes. Hit that thumbs up on YouTube. And follow us on Twitter at The Popcorn Talk. I am your host, as always. I am Yume. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Yume Warlock.
And I'm Maxwell Song, and you can find me on the everything at Max Saltz.
I am Chubby Bunny Michelle. You can find me everywhere on the internet at I am Chubby Bunny.
Hey, we're getting really good at introducing ourselves,
like,
not
we don't,
loving
like, fuck it up.
Yeah, don't fuck it up. Surprise. Yeah.
Don't forget our names.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is going to be a good cast.
I looked at the right camera.
Just so you guys noticed, we're all here this week as opposed to last week when nobody was here.
Yeah.
And the week before, it was just me and Jonathan. So
this is an upward trend, guys. Upward trend.
Just fucking team up.
Look, Zelda
here.
Came out, and I was very busy.
Yeah.
Doing work. And not playing Zelda.
Yeah, and Mass Effect is out now, yet we are all still here.
I don't play the Mass Effects.
I also do not play the Mass Effects.
It's the fourth one. There's like a bunch, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
From the first three, the fourth one. If you want my professional opinion, and yes, I'm technically a reviewer
professional.
Of professional nature,
being
technically, it's bad.
Yeah.
Everyone looks like melted crayons.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, real quick, internet, welcome to the chat. It's Tanashi's Movie Corner. Hello. And Lauren Marklin. What's up?
What's up, Lauren?
Lauren, you got to figure out something better to do than just watch us.
No.
Get a real hobby.
She's our diehard fan.
That's true.
Diehard fan.
Yeah.
We love you, Lauren.
We have fans.
We have.
We're not.
Fans.
Even if we actually know them in real life.
Even if they're our friends and I feel like she just watches it out of pity. Like, that's fine. That's fine.
All right, guys, tonight we are talking fairy tales, Japanese interpretations of Western ones, and their own, inspired by Western ones.
But Yume, why are we talking about fairy tales this week?
You might ask. It is because we watched the Beauty and the Beast live action. Well, Michelle and I did. I don't know if Max did.
Yeah.
I have no interest in watching
this.
2 to 3
ain't bad.
Yeah.
I mean, this is my interpretation of it. It's a movie that didn't need to happen, but it has Emma Watson in it, and I love her,
tale
so it doesn't matter.
Old as time.
So, what was your opinion on the movie, on that movie specifically?
I thought
Michelle?
It was cute, but like the problems they have are pretty big problems.
Yeah.
Like, what were their problems?
Like, they auto-tuned the shit out of Emma Watson.
It was
very
so
noticeable.
Creepy. And my biggest like peeve about that is that I know a lot of people were hating on Emma because she can't sing the best. I'm like, okay, but she's not bad. She's okay.
I think if you're like,
they made a Disney movie with The Rock, and The Rock could barely speak words in song form.
Aww,
so it's like...
He didn't, though.
I'm not saying that he did a terrible... I'm saying, but, like, if they can make The Rock, who obviously is not a very good singer, sound really awesome and make, like, a really huge Disney hit, they're going to be able to do it with Emma Watson, which I'm sure was not terrible.
Yeah, there was just moments where, like, she didn't sound human.
It's just our technology isn't there yet to have autotune sound natural. It just sounds like, like all of her note jumps were like too smooth. You know?
Uh-huh.
Or just one of the producers working on the autotuning just really fucked
up.
Yeah,
he just cranked that autotune up and it was like Uncanny Valley. It was bad.
Did you say Uncanny Valley?
Uncanny Valley. It happens in like 3D animation.
It's a dressing that you put on salad.
I hate
that's hidden.
All of you guys, I ask you
that's
a normal ass question.
Okay.
You give me
Uncanny Valley. If you want to explain it to your
the Uncanny Valley is basically if something is kind of close to real, but but as still detached enough to where you're like, where is this going? You know, it's not a caricature, but it's like an imitation of real life. Like if an alien wore human skin, you know, like you wouldn't. It would look off, but it would essentially be there. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's kind of like Michelle.
It's kind of like Final Fantasy 15. They look so close to real, but you know that it's not.
There's like, you know, and they move like this a little bit, and it's kind of janky.
So everyone, that's what an uncanny valley is whenever they decided to explain it. Real quick in the chat, welcome Andrew Drew. How you doing?
What's up, Andrew?
There are people starting to get in it with Beauty and the Beast on chat. Oh, damn. Funny.
We opened up a can of worms. This movie has been very like polarizing. I mean, I liked it, but Beauty and the Beast is one of my favorites, but I think the costuming was also very problematic.
Some of it was great, but it wasn't for the main characters. Like, it didn't make any sense.
It didn't make sense. And, like, I get they addressed the whole, like, glitter glue on her dress, but I was like...
It's magic, assholes.
I was like, it's still glitter glue, though, guys.
I mean, I just need someone to, like, have the Beast not look like a really handsome form of a Beast. You know what I mean? Like, the Beast looks, like, regal and interesting and, like, oh, man, he's, like, a hairier, handsome prince man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and so, some from our friends who are, like, actual animators, like, they animate for a living, I've heard that the biggest problem with the Beast is that he's not animated with any weight or emotion. Mm-hmm. So when he jumps and shit, it's just like, oh! Like, he's, like, a giant, heavy thing, right? But when he jumps, you don't get any impact.
Did you notice that at all?
I didn't get that he just seemed really fake to me. Like, the CG wasn't good enough or something?
I don't know. Thing with him is that, like, it was very Uncanny Valley, by the way. It was just, like, you could tell that it was okay, but he had no depth, no soul. And I think, like, when we went and actually saw it with Lauren Marklin, shout out to you.
What's up?
And we discussed, like, they could have literally just done it, like, with prosthetics, and it would have been better. Like, from Beauty and the Beast, where the Linda Hamilton version, where he lived in the sewers.
Yeah, I love that he lived in the sewers and helped her solve crimes. That was the best version.
and I was like, you literally.
I want to watch that version.
It's on, like, Netflix. Yeah. Are you going to take it off? Or Hulu?
I don't think
Hulu,
so. It's, like, on Hulu. It's from, like, the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
That's an amazing premise.
Yeah, she's basically April O'Neil. And he's a Ninja Turtle, but he's the Beast and she's not.
That's and cool. She's the Beauty.
I like that way better than some rich asshole being like, I'm a prince. And like,
I don't even know what the fuck his backstory
was. I'm going to steal this woman and she'll fall in love with me because
I'm money.
He wasn't
like a mutant or anything, but I don't think he was a prince either.
I think,
he was a prince.
He's a prince. And like they explained a lot of like the... Why do people forget them in the cartoon? Yeah.
I do like that. I've been seeing this thing going around where it's like he's literally the worst prince ever because for 20 years... He's just been in his castle missing and no one gives a shit.
Well, they, in the movie, they're like, it's magic. The witch made them forget. Magic.
Ugh.
But they didn't say there was a time freeze, which everyone's like, why is Chip this old if he's been here for how many years?
Like 30, he's a 30-year-old teacup.
Yeah, so he's a 30-year-old teacup.
I love that. I love that. He just never left home.
It'd be funny if, like, when he turned back into humans, he's like a boy, but he's talking like this.
Yeah, he just, like, got through here, but he's like, what's happening to me? Why am I like this mother? Anyway.
But anyways, I feel like if you're a true fan of, if you're a fan of that movie, you're probably going to like it. It's definitely not super necessary, I want to say.
But is Emma Watson as gorgeous as I think she is the question.
So I was looking at chat, which is blowing up. she's fine. Like, honestly, it's not about beauty or whatever, but, like, she looked quite plain and not, like, everyone's like, she's such a beauty, and I'm like, I don't know.
What I do know about Beauty and the Beast is when they originally animated her, they didn't want her to be, like, beautiful. They wanted her to have very good eyes, like, as if she was kind of beautiful as in within.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they drew her.
Okay.
But I think my problem
is that...
that's
the way they drew Emma Watson in this movie.
The thing with Emma Watson is, like, they're basically forcing her to be the animated version, and it seems really weird.
Yeah, right. A lot of people said that she's, like, kind of wearing it. She's, like, just there. She's, like, just there. And a lot of scenes, like, for example, Be Our Guest, which is a terrible scene. It felt really flat. She's sitting there, like, she's supposed to be reacting, and in the animation, she's, like, you know, and in this one, she's smirking. She goes... she literally does this and this and that's all she does the whole fucking song. It's weird.
And I feel like it's not her acting ability because she's acted full CG before. She was in all the Harry Potter movies and she started out really bad as a kid and then grew into somebody that's really good. So I'm like, okay.
I mean, I bet that's what their whole thing was like. Let's tone it down a little bit and make it a little bit more realistic.
Turn it down a notch.
Because, like, if you imagine, like, if I was in that position, I'd be like, holy shit, what is all this? You're doing this for me?
Yeah.
Like, I'd be so excited. And maybe it just doesn't read it well as a Disney movie at that point.
All right, well, let's get back into this fairy tale.
We had a topic.
For those of you who do not know what a fairy tale is, I bothered to Wikipedia it.
Oh, thank you.
As always, a fairy tale is a type of short story that typically features folkloric fantasy characters and beings, such as dwarves and elves and dragons and stuff. They usually involve humble heroes who face fantastical evil adversities, either wicked stepmothers or witches or warlocks or evil fantastical beasts.
Fantastical beasts.
Fantastical beasts.
That's the name of our movie.
Obviously.
So if you didn't know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And so Japanese versions. So for those of you who don't know, if we can get to the Toei image, back in the about 70s to 80s, Toei decided that they were going to do a whole bunch of Grimm's and Hans Christian Andersen films based specifically on fairy tales, which it seems a lot like. There were things that I noticed that seemed like, especially with The Little Mermaid, that it seemed like Disney took cues from.
Oh, no. Disney took a lot. Well, one example is, what is it, Kimba?
Yeah, Kimba the White Lion.
Kimba is like, you're very much like, oh, they make Kimba. And then you watch the Disney movie and it's like, oh, it's very similar. Mm-hmm. It's very similar in a lot of ways. And the thing is, it's like, the animation community probably back in this time was also probably very small.
Very small.
You know? Yeah. So, like, whatever works people found, I'm sure they would take techniques and,
Inspiration pool is very small.
Exactly. Yeah. So, it's of course, you're going to see some, like, crossover.
Yeah. Everyone's mood board looked the same.
So, basically, they did, their first was, I think, Puss in Boots, or the Wondrous Adventures of Puss in Boots back in, like, the late 60s. Mm. Then they did Sinbad. Mm. At Sinbad some point, they did The Little Mermaid, which was in 75, I believe. They also did Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, and they didn't, like, is that a fairy tale, they didn't sugar up the stuff. Like, they, in Little Mermaid, she's just like,
The biggest difference of what you notice is that the Japanese interpretations of the early stuff in, like, the 70s and 80s is they stick to the story. That shit is gruesome. The Little Mermaid, she attempts to kill the prince at some point and decides not to.
And then she turns into bubbles and shit. Like, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Damn bubbles.
The only thing covering her boobs is her hair.
Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, no shells?
No shells.
No shells.
Man. But there is this kind of, I mean, it's funny, as people who, like, watch a lot of anime, there are consistently mascot characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Beauty and the Beast has a dolphin, which I was like, oh, kind of reminds me of Flounder. You know, she has a dolphin. Yeah. Can't remember his name.
Wait, did you say Beauty and the Beast has
dolphins? No, Little Mermaid.
I was going to say, what?
It took me a second to catch this.
It's an underwater version. Yeah. They're all mermaids, but it has no Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Like, I remember watching as a kid, and, like, you see the kind of musical numbers that they do, and it's very, I feel like it's very much Disney influencing Toei doing something that later influenced Disney, like, 15
probably
years later.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the fact is, even for Disney's success, it's like these fairy tales have been so, you know, woven into our culture. You know, there's the fact is that these books and stories have been way more popular before even, you know, Disney made them, you know, their business, basically their lifeblood from using these stories. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you're going to definitely see it kind of like go through their Japanese culture as well. Because, I mean, Japanese, in Japan, they have their own stories, they have their own folklore, and they have all of these stories that they pass and create anime and things and shows or books. You know, like, all of that is so saturated in just globally. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It just, it's interesting to see, like, different interpretations, because America, we're very much like, oh, we can't show that to our children.
Yeah.
And Japan's like,
it has to be a happy ending.
Yeah.
Japan is like, nah, she's going to try to get her tail back.
Yeah.
She might kill that guy.
I would say all of Asia, as far as, like, films and TV go, it's like, if no one dies, no one learns a lesson. So.
Yeah. They don't shy away from that concept, which is very interesting.
I think for me, like, the first actual, like, Toei fairy tale anime that I saw was the Swan Lake one, which came out in 81, same year I was born, guys. But I had never heard of Swan Lake because my parents don't speak English. So they have no idea what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But what was interesting to me is that, like, they have, like, two little squirrel-like companions in there that help them, aid them along. And
that's,
I was like,
cool.
Oh, mascot characters.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, I feel like, they also gave more, because I later then read the actual fairy tales, I feel like they gave the characters much more of a story. Like, yeah. Siegfried gets, like, a background, Odette gets a background, Odile gets a background, and I was like, oh, I see the makings of all of these things that I feel like most anime do now, where they're like, yes, we can take this inspiration, but let's build upon it, because fairy tales generally are very, like, 2D characters, like,
yeah,
very
flat. And then there was a witch, and she killed this person, yeah, and everyone's yeah dead.
Also, like, I've been reading, and I've been trying to figure this stuff out, especially for, you know, what I was trying to figure out. I don't know, it's kind of a weird topic, because it's like, folklore and fairy tales are two different things, technically. And they say that there are folklore that can be fairy tales, but not fairy tales that can be folklore. So, yeah, I've been kind of trying to figure out what is folklore, because, like, all these stories that you hear, like, Alice in Wonderland is a fairy tale, right? But technically, like, Anne of Green Gables or whatever is not. Cinderella technically is a fairy tale.
Oh. But it came from folklore.
Yeah, but it comes from folklore. So it's this weird, like...
Yeah, it can be inspired by true events or urban legends, as they say.
And I did read on that. That's why I pulled the Wikipedia dictionary. Hey, so y'all. A lot of fairy tales... Wikipedia. A lot of fairy tales have mostly encompassed only European folklore, mm-hmm, and they call them fairy stories or fairy tales because they are...
There's fairies in it?
Yeah, well, it's because they're like, there's like in German, they're called like wonder stories. It's Märchen. So it's because it's just so outrageous that it's unbelievable, but they have some kind of a lesson.
Right. So I mean, is it because that there's a lesson? Like, the weird thing is, like, every time I think of a fairy tale, it has to be something super fantastical. There either has to be a fairy in it or some sort of, like, magical element. Like, Rumpelstiltskin is a good example of that, where it's like, you know, he's like this weird magical devil guy, you know? Like, that, to me, is what makes a fairy tale. And then everything else, sort of like Snow White, kind of has a witch in it. So is that, you know, it's like, it's just like a weird interpretation.
Is a witch?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're talking about, so as far as, like, Asia goes, I mean, we don't call them fairy tales by name, but at the same time, like, they're their stories and traditions that are largely, like, you know, we have the Tale of Princess Kaguya. Like, people didn't believe there was a girl that came down from the moon. Yeah. Well, I don't know, maybe they did.
I mean, they did, though.
But,
I mean,
well, but the thing is, it's like, it's still spun into a story that is more fairy tale like, that,
put out. It's like, by definition, is it humble heroes, or like, is there a fantastical beast? Is there some kind of lesson to learn from it?
Usually the lesson thing is why they exist at all.
Because I'm wondering if we're, you know, I didn't know if we're going to do like Japanese legends or like yokai or folklore or anything like that.
We kind of do.
Did you read the
rundown, Max?
A little bit. There's a lot here. There's three pages. All right. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, like, there is Japanese folklore, which I'm wondering... Like, this is very completely different because they're taking European stories specifically and making very Japanese tropes out of them. Like, this is, which is, to me, like, does that also include Japanese folklore where it's more like creatures that they, like, think did something, like, had an effect in the world, like, was a real entity that moved things?
I think sometimes it depends it's very specific. I've studied a lot of, I had a whole class on urban legends and folklore mythology in Asia, but I think sometimes it was based on, like, natural events, sometimes it's just something random. It just depends on the story, honestly.
That's a good segue Michelle's topic, which is animes that use fairy tales surprise but goes off the rails.
I have in the notes totes off the rails. Thank you very much. So it's great when they give, like, Ghibli does a really good interpretation. Hey, Hans Christian Andersen, we're gonna take your story, take the plot and put into anime. Sometimes they're just like, we like the name of the fairy tale, and that's all we need. So a couple of examples. We have Snow White with the red hair, also known as Akagami no Shirayuki Hime, that just came out in anime form last year. I've read the entire manga. I've only seen season one of the anime. Mm-hmm. Season two just came out this year.
I've seen this.
And it's really beautifully animated, actually. The storyline has nothing to do with Snow White or dwarves, or just the girl's name is Shirayuki Hime, which is Snow White Princess Hime.
Yeah.
And she has red hair, but she's actually studying to be an herbologist and a doctor, and she does meet a prince, but she insists on not being helped by that prince to gain status in life and has to work hard and study and gambate. And
it's very modern.
Yeah, so where are the dwarves?
There are zero fucking dwarves.
There are no elements.
Zero dwarves,
yeah,
huh?
There's an apple in the first episode or issue.
But she likes apples?
No, people say her hair is apple-colored.
Oh, yeah.
And then the first prince to find her is a mean prince who wants her as her concubine. So he sends her apples to try to poison her. And he's like, well, but then her love interest eats it instead. And he's like, well, if you want the cow, you'll have to marry me. And she's like, fine, whatever. And then the prince is like, I'm immune to poison. Surprise. I just ruined the first episode. But after that, it's a really interesting story about love and trying your hardest, as most anime are. Very cute.
Oh, that's nice.
Another Snow Whitey. I should not have said that. I'm sorry. Please delete it off the internet. Another Snow White-ish story is the beautiful fantasy of Praetir. If you guys are around in the 2000s, this anime was a reverse harem, basically, where there's one girl and tons of dudes. In this case, it's really, really popular when it came out.
Wait, Praetir was?
Yeah. Like, I had the accent over
about
the E.
Pretty Cure.
No, that's Praetir. No,
Praetir is different.
That's Praetir, yeah.
Praetir, okay. Not Praetir.
Listen and learn Maxwell's song. So, basically, it's kind of like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, except, so Himeno is the name of the girl. She is the Snow White, but she's the Praetir. She's the magical being that can fuse with these other guys to become, to have magical powers to defeat the evil. There are seven guys. Oh, my God. They do not have names like Bashful and whatever the fuck. But there's
Dopey.
Always... But, of course,
Dopey,
there's, like,
yeah.
The one guy who's really mean to her, and then she falls in love with him.
It's basically a dating sim.
Yeah, it's really good. And every time she fuses with another guy, she gets a new costume. It was kind of a big deal in, like, early 2000s. Yeah,
I've
like
never
late
seen
90s.
This.
It's really cute. It's not very deep, but it is the Praetir. So that's another Snow White. And then we have... Oh, God, this one's great. Mermaid Melody, Peachy Peachy Pitch. Do you guys know this at all?
No.
Never watched any of these.
Except for the first one. Okay.
And even then, I didn't really watch it. I think I've read one chapter, and I was like, I got it.
Well, so Praetir is pretty old. Mermaid Melody is... I think it's from the same era, but there's a lot of it because it's made for little girls. It's kind of... It's in that Pretty Cure, you know, age segment. And Mermaid Melody, Peachy Peachy Pitch. Let's be very specific. There is a mermaid... named Lucia Nanami. She is a princess. And 7 years ago, she saved a young boy. And she like, you know, in the present day, she wants to find him again. But I think it's like, if she tells him she's a mermaid, she'll turn to sea foam. So she, like, is sitting around plotting, like, how can I get him to remember me? Because she has a human form for some reason. I don't know what the fuck. But then the twist that's not nothing to do with the Little Mermaid is that most of the plot actually centers on there's evil sea witches, and her friends have to transform into pop idols to use their singing to defeat the sea witches.
Wait, underwater?
And above water as well, as humans and as mermaids.
Oh,
so they have to sing above water and...
Yeah, as pop
idols.
Well,
I guess, mermaids sing. Yeah,
because they
got
have
that.
Magical
I
pearls.
I understand that.
Yeah, they have pearls. This is...
Hey, look.
They've got pearls that change them into singing idols.
If you want to weaponize singing voices, I'm all about that. I'm okay.
I like that it's both... magical girls, idol anime, and also fantasy.
And Little Mermaid.
I like it.
Way to go. And that one's actually appropriate for small children, so that one's for you, Amy Steinberger.
Yes.
And all your children.
These definitely seem very much like a lot of the fairy tale premises. I don't think I've ever seen a dark version of it. Not really.
Which one?
Like
fairy tales?
Like, all of these have been children's stuff, and all the ones that I can think of are, like, basically for younger children and not... more of, like, the teen audiences, you know, except for Berserk. Berserk is different.
Yeah, it's not a fairy tale, really.
But, I mean, yeah, it's not
like
super
a fantasy,
fairy tale.
But...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, where is the difference? Where is the line crossed between fantasy and fairy tale?
I think it has to be, like, old and then also passed down through hundreds of years, you know. It's kind of like...
So you're saying...
It has to have a history.
Right, the fairy tale is the story itself. Right? That's why
I feel like Max is confused about the wrong thing.
No, it's just like, it's weird because I don't know, I just had trouble with this topic because I just don't know, like, where the influences end. You know what I mean?
I think that, like, the fantasy genre can be, like, have roots within fairy tales, but I feel like the fantasy genre generally has more of, like, an action to it. Like, it's more like Berserk, it's action focused.
Right.
It's a bit more gritty and detailed than, like, there's a lot of, like, sex and violence in it, which is, like, the violence in in fairy tales generally has been to teach a lesson, right. not to just show how shitty the world is.
Yeah, so like in Hansel and Gretel, I think the witch, how does the real version go? She like kills a couple of kids first.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you get a description of it. And then, I don't think she dies in the end. I think she just keeps eating kids or something.
No, I don't know.
Oh, they kill her. So,
they burn her in the oven.
But the lesson, it's not about the story. It's about don't go where you're not told to go.
Yeah.
And by yourself, people are out there to get you.
Even if your parents abandon you. Even if your parents
abandon
you. Because, I mean, you have... Yeah. I mean, like there is actually, like, I think... Nippon one did one about like the red shoes, and the red shoes is a fucked up, like it's a fucked up fairy tale.
Oh man,
it's about a girl who really likes red shoes, and her mom's like, "You can't buy these." And then she goes to church, and the church is like scandalized because you're not supposed to want that kind of shit, you know. Yeah. And so she puts them on, and they make her dance forever until she gets her feet chopped off.
Yeah, anime, y'all. Fantasy
she
video.
She gets her feet chopped off because she's too much dancing. Yeah,
the lesson there is don't be vain.
Yeah, so they all have lessons and like bullshit like that.
I thought the lesson was buy those shoes because they look fantastic.
Yeah, because to me, I'm like, I like those red shoes. But yeah, back in the day, you're supposed to be like humble and practice like prudence or whatever not. But I think that's really the main difference. Like folklore generally has been to teach some kind of a lesson.
Huh. Well, then this is going to be really weird because I've been trying to figure out what the common traits were in anime. Honestly, I just, once again, this topic is just so wildly vague because, you know, the dragons came from a place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the idea of fairies came from a place. They came from stories, probably from fairy tales, and then it's woven itself into the fantasy genre. And so you see a lot of that stuff that you are very much like, oh, this is fantasy world, but is it just D&D or is it a fairy tale? And I got a little confused. However, there's one thing that I haven't got confused about, and that's Alice in Wonderland is something that they use all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
They love Alice in Wonderland. I don't know what it is, but I mean, I wish I could name all of them, but I know Pandora Hearts is one of those that, like, it just kind of, it took pieces of Alice in Wonderland and, like, kind of forms it in their own way, and that's what I see a lot of, especially with these fairy tales, is, like, they just sort of vaguely take, like, the core concept of it, you know? And, like, they sort of, like, mix it together in their own way, which always kind of creates these really unique, I guess, interpretations of them. So I was wondering what you guys thought were kind of, like, the weird, common, general things that you see over and over again.
In fairy tales or in anime?
Oh, in anime. Because there's a lot.
Fairy tales? Yeah. Like, I feel like Alice in Wonderland is, I feel like there is a very Japanese thing about this kind of obsession with, like, a young girl.
Yeah.
Like, I see it all the time. Where it's, like, why Alice in Wonderland is popular. It's about a young girl who gets lost in this fantasy world. But the same thing with, like, Red Riding Hood. It's always a young girl in some kind of peril. And then they make her out to be either, like, oddly sexy for no reason, or she's like overpowered and has to save the world. It's just like their obsession with, like, when you see vampires, there's always one that is like a child vampire.
Yeah, and they're always the weirder, like powerful ones. You
and
know?
They've always got some kind of weird sexuality, even if they're drawn to be like eight. Yeah. To be fair,
Well, Japan is the country of drawing sexy, not children, but anyway, lowlies.
Yeah.
Anyway, so. I don't know. Like, I feel... I don't know. Do you think it's overused? Because there's a lot of stuff that I see where I'm just like... There's always a rabbit boy in Alice in Wonderland ones. Or, like, a cat boy. I don't know. There's always
like,
those...
Like a shonen type character.
Yeah.
Shota version.
Yeah, and it's just like... It's so weird to, like, put those together in a weird sense. You know what I mean? It's like, you're like, oh, that's the white rabbit. But it's like this sexy boy. Yeah.
I can see what happens in translation with how they're adapting it, though, is that they're like, okay, we want this store, but wouldn't it be cool if we did it our way, of which we can only do five different ways? Like, we have to have all the tropes. So we have to have the sexy girl with the big boobs, and we have to have the mean mother, and we have to have the shota boy who wears shorts and, like, but also looks like a girl and everything thinks he's a girl for, like, three episodes. Like, they just take what they want. And, you know, and I think that's a valid method of creation, you know, of new stories.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those, it's a trope because, like, hey, it works and people don't hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say, I haven't seen a lot of it, but the Magi series, which is a bunch.
Oh, the Sinbad, the... thousand nights.
There's like three series, I think. Spin-offs and
There's Magi and then there's Sinbad, which
Sinbad is Magi.
So there's actually just two.
Two, okay.
And yeah, that's actually a pretty good interpretation of like
they take that fairy tale and then they make it a shonen adventure, you know. So and that worked pretty well. It's pretty popular in America.
It has like things that allude to it. Like some are way more, I guess, loyal to it than others.
Yeah, sometimes they're just like, we need 12 episodes, so let's just make it's got to be an evil tarantula. Yeah. Okay, let's go.
And I mentioned Berserk because I feel like Berserk definitely has like a lot of fantasy elements.
Yes, it does.
But even more so than just like your average, like, oh, here's a dragon, here's a gnome, here's a dwarf. It's like very much like they show fairy tales and fairy kind, which in actual folklore and stories are like these vicious natural things. Mm-hmm. Like fairies steal your children, mm-hmm. and like these things eat the toes off your children. Lots of children things, like, you know. That's clearly a fear of losing your children to the magical elements. And Berserk definitely, like, really shows that these things are not necessarily great things, mm-hmm. you know, and that there's sort of this weird... They're not evil and they're not good. They're just nature about it, which
they're just a force, just like Godzilla was in the movie Godzilla.
Yeah, in Godzilla,
in the movie Godzilla,
and Kong, who was also just a force for good.
You don't get no personalization.
I feel
in this
like
movie.
A good example of like fairy tale esque anime is like the heroic tale of Arslan.
Oh yeah,
Arslan?
Really?
You think
because
Arslan is?
it takes place in a. In like a fake Persia, he is a prince trying to win back. He's ignorant and very pure. He's trying to unite all these things and come into his own. He's generally portrayed as what you would portray a hero in fantasy and D&D in video games. Right. To be fair, I think in the help that he gets is very D&D. He gets like a rogue and a bard and stuff like that. It's much more like fairy tale esque.
Okay, well, here's a list. a small list. You did mention
Spice and Wolf. I guess that's
Because that's based off an actual folklore though as well.
Oh, is it?
Like you know, wolf girls.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then Vision of Escaflowne.
No,
girls traveling to other dimensions is like totally a whole genre.
Oh, like the Alice in Wonderland trope. Yeah.
She gets to be ride a mecha or whatever the fuck is that about that?
It's a dragon.
Claymore. I'm trying to think of it's not Heroic of Legend of Arslan, but it came out around the same time. Elfin Lead.
Yeah.
No, that has nothing to do with anything.
No. I feel like
they have one.
Oh, the Record of Lotus Ward.
Oh, Lotus Ward. Yes,
that's the one I suggested for a future passage. Sword Art actually has little things that allude to it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't realize was that Sailor Moon is actually based off of technically Greek myth, which it makes sense. Like
the moons.
Endymion and Selene. In the legend, it's Selene.
Oh yeah, because Selene means moon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, there, that's where that came from, and I had no clue whatsoever that that's. What
oh really?
That
I
was.
Also yeah. did not know that.
I feel yeah. like I thought everyone knew because I was such a turbo nerd with Sailor Moon when I was a kid that I read up on every random any kind of like tidbit of like. Fact that would drop in the series, I'm like, well, why has that happened? Let me look it up. And I would like go to the fucking library because you couldn't Google stuff back then.
I had no idea that these were based off of anything.
Yeah, so
no.
Like, Rhea has like Phobos and Deimos. Those are the two moons that are also like the two guardians. Like in Greek legend, they're like the two guardians of.
Wow!
I'm finally piecing these things together.
I feel like the more you learn,
Learned something about anime today, and I feel real good about myself.
So online, Andre Drew says, there was a Little Mermaid-esque anime called The Adventure of Mermaid Princess Marina, and there's also, Princess Tutu.
Yeah.
Princess Tutu. Princess Tutu. Isn't that like about the Swan Lake?
It's a mixture of Swan Lake and the Ugly Duckling.
Who's the only one? Yeah. Oh, also they use a bunch of, Sayuki... Journey to the East.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Journey to the West.
Journey to the West. Yeah, that's right.
Wrong direction.
Sorry. All right. I guess that makes sense. Hey, look, eventually you go around and it turns into East. so as we were talking about, nature, it kind of reminds me of, fairy tale and nature reminds me of Ghibli movies.
Yeah.
I think Ghibli does that kind of the best. Because the whole thing is it's, you know that Ghibli movies are like a fairy tale.
Yes.
But it's so hard to put your finger on what...
It's because they focus on nature. There's always a lesson for humanity in it. And there's always fantastical elements.
Yeah, that is also one of the points that I have. Where, like, basically,
hey, that's called a segue.
Yeah, segue. Ghibli is basically the equivalent of the Japanese Disney. And I think they have very strong fairy tale type stories. But they're kind of like new fairy tales where they kind of invent them. But there's always like a young... like humble, usually a girl who's either lost or beginning, trying to make something of herself. And there's always like an overarching moral story. Yeah. Like you get like Kiki's Delivery Service is like that, like Howl's Moving Castle.
Which is based off the book though.
Oh.
Kiki's Delivery Service is based off, isn't that a book?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
No.
Oh shit, sorry internet.
No clue, guys.
Someone fact check us. Come on, no, hurry up.
Fact check. Like Princess Mononoke's definitely got fairy tale elements in it and Spirited Away.
Yeah, they pull things from the folklore and then they make it into a complete story with a beginning and an end, which is why people like it. I mean it's like it has a feeling of oldness that exists like in the back of our brains already.
Yeah. It I don't know. It's like Can we make fairy tales now?
There's modern fairy tales.
I think Ghibli is a very good like starting point of how you can make new fairy tales.
Right. Max, haven't you seen The Wedding Planner?
that supposed to be a fairy tale?
J-Lo, she becomes a princess.
No, Made in Manhattan.
I was thinking of Made in Manhattan.
Made in Manhattan.
Made in Manhattan.
Yeah.
That's a coming of age. That's a modern fairy tale. Can you imagine
the future? Our
or like
future,
the Princess Diaries.
Or like our kids, and they're just like, I want you to tell me the bedtime story of You've Got Mail. Like,
But You Got Mail is based off of Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, I don't know. See, there you go.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I get it now, but yeah.
So many connections we're making.
So really,
isn't culture a beautiful thing?
Everything. Nothing is original.
Nothing is original.
Everything is recycled. There's no point. Originality is dead.
All right, so recommended fairy tale inspired anime? You guys have any? Explain why.
I have to say, I just watched... The Tale of Princess Kaguya? Tale of Princess Kaguya. It's a movie that Ghibli just did kind of recently. I can't really right now. Maybe like 2 years ago. If you look in the poster on the screen, you can see that they released an American version with all sorts of Hollywood actors as the main voices.
Cause it was also nominated for an Oscar.
Yes. It's very beautiful. It's the first... I don't know if it's the first time, but it's the first time in a long time that Ghibli decided to directly do the fairy tale version of the story.
Oh.
They padded it with some extra stuff like that wasn't in the original story, but they kind of, from beginning to the end, the beginning and the end are the same.
So it's like the traditional Japanese story.
And at the end, she gets taken away by the moon people. But in between, they add stuff to make it like a full story of like what happened after the parents found her, and then why did she want to leave? Why did the moon people pick her up? That's weird. And it's actually quite moving, and it's not a slow one. You know, it's one of those beautiful ones. It's animated in the style of Japanese paintings, traditional Japanese paintings with like the brushwork and stuff. And when she gets really mad, she turns into like a really She turns into like a less animated version of herself and like a painting that just flies through the air. It's really, really cool. I have to recommend it because it is fairy tale esque. It's well animated and it's out there on the internet.
Yeah. I think it's definitely Japanese fairy tale.
Yeah. It's as traditional as traditional folklore can get.
Yeah, because I mean, I'd be surprised that they haven't done like a more true to story like Momotaro or something. Yeah. You know,
I would expect them to make like a Momotaro. Yeah.
I feel like that'd be
too.
Like a sad project. I think they were really committed to, while Miyazaki was in charge, just doing new fairy tales, creating a new story for like this generation to learn shit about things that are problems now, like fucking up the environment, war. Like they are trying to hit stuff.
Yeah, because there's also that one about like that a dude who goes and lives under the sea and comes back and is like everybody's dead or old or whatever.
Oh yeah, he.
God, what's it called?
so a version of the
you're talking about when he goes into the underwater kingdom and he comes back out and he thinks it's only a week, but it's actually been 100 years.
Yeah,
and then he's like, "Don't open this box." He's like, "Fuck it, I'll open the box."
Something like that.
And then he grows into an old man. That's basically
yes.
I should tell stories to children. I'd be really good at it.
Max, your
my recommendations: Berserk. We went through that. Whatever. But Record of Lotus War.
Record of Lotus War, though.
Can I tell you how amazing that show is? It was like one of those anime that like I watched as a young child and I didn't 100% get everything about it. Mm-hmm. But I just remember having this feeling of like, oh man, this is how a well-developed fantasy series is supposed to be like. It has dwarves. Yeah. It's more D&D than it is like fairy tale-ish. But at the same time, you know, like, you feel that element of fantasy.
Yeah, because it's got, like we said, it's got all the elements. It's got a very humble hero with humble beginnings. Mm-hmm. It's got fantastical creatures that aid him. And it's got an overarching witch and evil dude who is working against him.
And I think it's also, it's high fantasy, as we say, as opposed to, like, regular fantasy. Mm-hmm. Because in high fantasy, what it is, they develop all the races and stuff. So, like, the dwarves have a story, the elves have a story. And I think it was inspired by Lord of the Rings, though.
Yeah. I mean, probably.
Everything was. Everything
Is. There's a lot of that. Because that basically spawned D&D, you know, D&D culture and whatever elements that they use, like all the creatures and the races and stuff. But it had, I think it started this genre of, like, the Mao, you know, the Demon King. Like, that is a story is like this. Because a lot of anime takes these certain story structures and they sort of, like, make different interpretations of it. Mm-hmm. One of them is the evil demon king versus the hero. Like, that is a huge thing. There's been, like, I feel like there's, like, 4 or 5 anime that spawn every season that has to do with, like, we gotta kill the evil king. Like, Granblue Fantasy right now, that is that story. That story is so prevalent all the time. What was it? The Devil's a Part-Time Worker.
Yeah, Hataraku no Mao-sama.
Yeah.
Which is a really good anime, guys.
It's a really great anime, and it's literally about a demon king. So it's like, I feel like that was the first OG genre, and probably spawned like a lot of other things out of it.
Sure, yeah. It came out very early in the age of anime as well. It's an early 80s film, I think. Or maybe 70s.
I think it was late 80s. So, the 6-4 Lotus War, I feel like it's like, I want to say 88.
88-ish. Yeah, I remember being pretty dated even when I watched it.
Yeah, and then like the 26 episode anime was like early 90s.
But can I say that is like impeccably animated?
Yeah, I think it still holds up.
Yeah, it's beautiful from the first episode to like the last episode. There's like some frames in between, but for the most part, man, I've never seen like animation that beautiful since then.
1990. You
know? Really? Wow.
I thought it was a long time ago.
I thought it was like late 80s.
It felt way long. Like, when I saw it, I was like, probably like 12 or 13 or something.
Oh my god. But you couldn't. No, wait, well, what? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, then you saw it much later, because I remember seeing it like when I was like in...
I feel like I saw it when the internet was available.
Yeah, I guess I was in college already, because I started college in 2000, so it must have just when it came out. So it says here that the manga started in 88, though.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, it's something to get based off of. But then there's also an RPG game.
Oh, of course there is. Like, that whole series screams, like, RPG. And I think,
oh, yeah, definitely.
And, like, growing up, I had no idea what D&D was. But when people explained to me, I was like, oh, like Record of Lotus War.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a great example.
And if you want, like, a solid fantasy series, like a solid, solid one, this is definitely one to watch. I feel like it's definitely one of those must-see animes. If you like anime and you really want to get into it, and you want to see, like, what gems this culture has brought out, Record of Lotus War.
This gem, right here.
This gem.
My pick is, obviously, somebody said it, Princess Tutu. I randomly saw it on, like, I want to say Amazon. Mm-hmm. And it is a...
It was so big when it came out, though.
Yeah, it's kind of like what were we saying? Swan Lake meets the Ugly Duckling, because she is a duck. Apparently, she's like a duck.
Wait, is she a human duck?
So she's a duck, and then she has like a human form. Mm-hmm. And then, like,
don't they fight? Isn't there like a fight scene?
But it's like dance fighting. It's like ballet dance fighting.
But they're ducks.
No, she has humans. A human form.
Yeah,
like that form.
But it's a technically no, that
just
is a duck.
The game anime.
You should just watch it. Okay, it's very very cute. Sure. They have some very stylized stuff. It kind of reminded the artwork kind of reminded me of like Utena at some points where they have like all the stained glass and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think it's very sweet, but it also does something that I'm like towards the end, like the guy that you think is the villain ends up being the one who takes care of the duck. like that is the love story. So it's spoilers if you haven't seen it. But it's been it's also been Mallard like love, at least 10 years.
Watch this. We're recommending these things to watch, but we're gonna tell you the ending real quick.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I think
it's worth watching.
It's worth watching.
I remember there was like 3 years when all the cosplay was Princess Tutu. Like you'd go to any convention.
Yes.
Like, how many swans am I gonna see today? 20.
Yeah, there's 20 like swans.
It's still a pretty prevalent series, I feel like.
Not as much as it used to be. Yeah.
Sure.
It was as prevalent as Game of Thrones cosplay.
But I feel like I occasionally see someone dressed as that.
Because it's a nice costume.
Yeah, it's a good dress looky thing.
Yeah. Please. Okay.
All right. Well, that's kind of it for us this week. Next week, Michelle is leading with a different style.
Yeah, we're talking about the fucking news, y'all. We're going to talk about anime news, geek news, otaku shit, stuff happening Maverick in Japan. Stuff. Just like, you know, fun news you show. Yeah. So hop on in.
If you're an otaku, you probably want to know.
Yeah. Ping us on Twitter or whatever and let us know cool things that are happening in
your
life.
Yeah, if you have any topic suggestions or if you want... If you hear about the new hotness, please hit us up at the Mighty Otaku, because we are not just the Mighty Otaku, so are you.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
So thanks again once for joining us. I am Yume. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Yume Warlock.
And I'm Maxwell Song. You can find me on the everything at Max Saltz.
And I'm Trevi Bunny Michelle. You can find me everywhere on the internet at I am Trevi Bunny.
Woo! See you next week!
Y'all.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.